First, there are some things that just seem to go with summer. Family vacations, backyard cookouts, fireflies, baseball for a few, and pie. Of course, you've got your various fruit and berry pies, but don't forget about the no-bake refrigerator pies, perfect for those hot and humid days. And if you want to stretch out those cherries, blueberries, and the rest of the summer bounty into the fall and winter, maybe can some of your own fillings. In this week's edition of Food Friday, we're going to cover all of that and more. Christina Ward is a food writer from Cudahy and master food preserver for Milwaukee County. She's the author of two books, including American Advertising Cookbooks, How Corporations Taught Us to Love Spam, Bananas, and Jell-O, and Preservation, the Art and Science of Canning, Fermentation, and Dehydration. Christina, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me back. I know it's a challenging time for everyone, but we can still get outdoors and we can still make pie.
Fantastic. Is there a pie, Christina, that you look forward to in the summertime more than any other?
We're in the midst of cherry season right now. And cherry pie, there's nothing that says summer more to me in Wisconsin than cherry pie. And cherry picking is something that families can do safely outside with a mask and distance. And you can still get outside. And I know the cherries are ripe right now in Door County and in other cherry growing areas.
A bane of fruit pie making, and you've written about this, Christina, is if we just throw the fruit in there and cook it up, the liquid from the fruit can really spoil the crust. How do we prepare our fruit fillings to make sure that just doesn't happen?
The tried and true way is to essentially pre-cook that filling, is to heat up, say we're making a cherry pie, and I think we've got that recipe up on the website. If we're making that cherry pie, cook that fruit first. So the heat helps release the juice. And then we do the thickening, and that's called making a slurry, and then adding it to the pie crust. Doing that way helps ensure that you're going to have a nice thickened pie and the crust remains crispy.
And we thicken it up just kind of like we'd thicken up any kind of sauce with cornstarch or something like that?
So if you're using your fresh cherries, a little bit of cornstarch, even some folks use a little bit of flour or tapioca. All of those things are okay. Anything that helps make a little bit of a thickening. If you're using it to make a canning filling, then you have to use a very specialized item called clear gel, which can be purchased online or at many of the Mennonites Amish stores throughout Wisconsin.
We've got that classic cherry pie recipe you shared with us at WPR.org/Food Friday. Well, let's get into that delicious pie crust. You've also shared just a good go-to recipe for our pie dough. Again, that's at WPR.org/Food Friday. What is the key to making a successful pie crust?
You know, pie crust is one of those things. The simpler, the better. I mean, in the ingredients. It's just a few ingredients, and everyone has their own secret version of it. You'll hear variations about adding vodka because it evaporates, the alcohol evaporates. Butter versus lard versus Crisco. I think it's more about technique. Have whatever fat you're adding, and I prefer using butter. Have it really, really cold. Don't overwork the dough. Make sure the water is really cold. The best way to do that on a hot day is just get a little bit of cold water, stick an ice cube in it, and as you're getting everything ready, that water will be cold enough. And just put it together with a pastry blender by hand. I think that works great. And get it going, and don't fuss too much with it.
Should there be, and this is something I always wonder about, should there be visible, like, little blobs of butter left, or do I have to work those completely in with the flour?
Yeah, it sounds like you've made pie before.
I'm a little scared of it. I'm not going to lie, but I have tried. Yeah.
Yeah. Ideally, you should still see the like globs of butter. That's what builds the layers. The little fat globules, then as the butter melts or the fat melts, that is what helps make your pie crust flaky and it builds the layers. So that's the secret about don't overwork the dough. You don't want it 100% perfectly blended. You want to see just like pea size. When there's pea size pieces of your fat in there in the dough, then you're ready to go and just roll it out and get it into a pie plate. And I'm a fan also of blind baking. And what that means is laying maybe a piece of tin foil or better yet parchment paper. And you can buy fancy pie stones, but I just keep a jar of old beans and make sure nobody tries to use those for cooking. And you bake the crust, you pre-bake it, and And that helps also to ensure you get a nice flaky crust and it doesn't get too moist, kind of, because soggy pie in the middle is never a good outcome.
We are talking about pies on this edition of Food Friday. Christina Ward is with us, a food writer from Cudahy, master food preserver for Milwaukee County. We're making some great summertime pies in particular. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite pie to make or to have someone else make and then you get to eat it? Do you have questions about solving some of your problems? Christina's already solved two of my mistakes in just the last few minutes already. Or do you have a secret to your success when it comes to pies? Do you have a no-bake kind of pie you like to make? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Oh, and what kind of berries or cherries or fruit do you like best in your pie? Christina, I just mentioned that no-bake pie idea, and on our hotter, more humid days in Wisconsin, that sounds like a nice option. What are some of the things we can play with when we don't want to actually bake it?
There is a great old-fashioned recipe, and I say old-fashioned because everybody's grandma or great-grandma made it, and it was from the back of a can of the sweetened condensed milk, and so from Borden's. And folks will probably recognize this type of recipe, and it's that basic sweetened condensed milk and some lemon juice or orange juice, and you whip that all together with a little bit of cream cheese, and you stick that in a graham cracker crust, and you've got pie. Can be as simple as that. There's a recipe we shared on the website for today, a little bit more complicated, a little bit fancier, if you will, but still a refrigerator pie for blueberries. And it uses ricotta cheese.
Yeah, tell us more about this one. This one, I don't think I've ever seen a blueberry ricotta pie before. What happens with this guy?
Yeah, I wanted to share something that is a little bit more unusual, and I thought that would be fun. And so instead of a graham cracker crust, this is a nut crust. And so it uses a combination of walnuts and almonds, and you could use really any kind of nut combination you want. It comes through the sweetening with a little honey as well. And then you could use a little a thickening agent, which is a little almond butter, or you can substitute tahini. And you just either roast those nuts or keep them raw, grind them all up, mix it together till it comes, you know, as a kind of a chunk, and then press that into the pie plate. Cool it. You can do a quick cool in the freezer. And then when you mix mashed up blueberries with whole blueberries and the ricotta cheese with a little sweetening, maple syrup and blueberries go great together. You've got a really nice, not super overly sweet as you would with the sweetened condensed milk, but a nice version, a little maybe a gourmet version of a refrigerator pie.
And you've got one of the best warnings I've seen in a recipe on that one for those almonds in the crust. You say, make sure you're not using, you know, smoked or, you know, flavored or whatever almonds. You're going to get a big surprise, I guess, if you use
something
like that.
You sure will. Smoked, there's so many flavored almonds out there, and that's a great healthy snack. But, you know, watch closely in the pantry. And usually if I put a warning on a recipe, that's usually because that mistake has happened somewhere along the line.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Kathy is with us in Eau Claire. Kathy, hi.
Hi. I had a raspberry cream cheese pie out at a restaurant, and I've been wanting to make it. I have some fresh raspberries from the garden, and I'm just wondering if you have a good recipe for how to do that.
Ooh.
Are you looking for a refrigerator pie?
What I've heard is that you, like you said earlier, you cook the raspberries in a slurry with some thickener and put it on cream cheese on a baked pie shell and just add a few raspberries. But I don't know, how
sure.
much of anything to make. And I just wonder
sure.
what I'm guessing from the taste.
Yeah. And so that sounds like one of those great hybrid kind of like a chess pie where there's like a cheese base with a fruit on top. And so what that means is it's super forgiving. I would guess about a pint of raspberries is enough. And if you cook those down, it's essentially you're making two pies. You're making a cheesecake pie, and then you're making a raspberry pie on top of that and kind of marrying those two together. And that can be just fantastic. You could do a refrigerator version of that as well. By doing following the Philadelphia cream cheese brand has like the no bake cheesecake. You could do that and then put your raspberry slurry on top. Or you can do it as a baked cheesecake pie, and that would be a little bit more complicated. You'd have to bake your crust, blind bake it for at least 25 minutes, make your cheesecake batter, and then carefully pour that in the pie crust. Make your raspberry pie slurry, carefully pour that on top, and then bake everything together.
Kathy, good luck. Hope that helps. We are talking about summer pie making and baking with Christina Ward. She's a food writer from Cudahy and master food preserver for Milwaukee County. We've got three recipes that she shared. They're posted at WPR.org/Food Friday. There's a classic pie dough, a cherry pie, and a blueberry ricotta refrigerator pie. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite pie this time of year? Are you making something right now or planning to make something this weekend? Tell us about it. Or do you have a pie problem that you need solved? I bet Christina will have an answer for you. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. It's Food Friday. We continue our conversation about how to make awesome summer pies with Christina Ward. She's a food writer from Cudahy and a master food preserver for Milwaukee County. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What kind of pies have you made lately? What matches the summer for you? What pie tastes like summer for you? Is there a berry or fruit that you like to work with, or a no-bake pie? Or do you have a question for Christina? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Find some recipes from Christina at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll go back to your calls now. Lynette is with us in Madison. Lynette, hi.
Oh, hi. This is kind of interesting. I've never made a pie before in my life. And just yesterday, I was at a Pex market in Spring Green, and I picked up two large jars of one of peach pie filling and the other apple pie filling. And I don't, do you just buy a crust or make a crust and then pour it in there and bake it?
That is absolutely what you do. That's one of the benefits of actually canning your own pie filling, too, is so when you're feeling lazy on a day that you don't want to do all that cooking, you can get a pre-made pie crust, whether that is a pre-shaped one or a flat one. And I would always recommend, even with the pre-made pie filling, is to par-bake that crust so it gets nice and flaky and not soggy. And then pour your pie filling in and then bake for another, for apple or peach, maybe another 20, 25 minutes. You could zhuzh that up and make like a quick oatmeal nut streusel and put that on top, too. And all of a sudden, your jar of pie filling just became pretty fancy.
You're going to be a pie pro in no time, Lynette. Thanks a lot for calling in. And I know before we go back to callers, Christina, you are big on preserving. And even if people aren't growing their own, you can go to the You Pick places that are open, or, sometimes that you can buy a crate of peaches in bulk or this or that in bulk. You're a big fan of preserving now and then enjoying the fruits of your labor literally through fall and winter.
I am. To me, it's a taste of summer. When it's February and it's really cold, though it's hard to think about it being cold right now, there is nothing like knowing that you can, go into the pantry and pick up a jar out of, your stock, your own personal stock. You know exactly where it came from. It tastes the way you want it to taste, and you can whip up a pie.
We got an email from Grant who says, my favorite pie is parsnip pie, made from roasted parsnips, made with some honey and a bit of orange zest. It's killer texture, Grant says, is similar to a pumpkin pie, but far better. Now, parsnips, I forget about this, but you roast them, and they do get a little sweet. What do you think, Christina?
Sure. That's a very old English style of English cooking, to use root vegetables, especially as a pie filling. What the roasting does is the heat kind of caramelizes the sugars that are in the potato, sweet potato, carrot, or parsnip. And when you mix it again with more honey and other things, sweeteners, it bakes up to a kind of a pie that could be savory. You could make that savory too. In England, in the Renaissance era, they didn't have a crust. They would just make those and call those puddings. And that's where you see sometimes old Yankee recipes that actually call for mashed potatoes. And you see mashed potato pies. It's a sweet pie. But yeah, there's a long history of using root vegetables as well as squashes as pie fillings.
That sounds fantastic. Let's go back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Travis is with us in Mercer. Travis, hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What do you want to tell us about, Travis?
Yeah, I have a question. Every time I make a pecan pie, I can never get the bottom middle of the crust to finish cooking all the way when the rest of the pie is all done. When we cut into it, the middle of the pie crust is always still pretty gooey. So I was just wondering if any advice on that.
I've had that too, Christina. You know, I'm worried it's getting burned on the top, but it's still not quite done in the middle.
I've got a couple tips for you. I love pecan pie. Yeah. So first, blind baking. Again, if you blind bake that crust, and if you can actually, it's a little futzy, and you can actually buy essentially crust covers that cover the edge of the crust and protect it from getting overcooked or burnt, and cook through the actual pie crust. So that's something to look for. But you can also make it yourself with tinfoil. You just kind of cut long strips of tinfoil and essentially very carefully cover the edge crust where you've kind of either with your thumb or with a fork kind of pressed it into the pie plate at the edge. And so protect the edge and really par bake that crust. And that will really make a difference. And the crust, bake it longer than you think. Half hour, 45 minutes before you put in your the pecan pie filling, and then bake it through. And you'll be surprised. You'll get a really nice, thorough bake on your pie.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. It's Food Friday. We are talking about pie, making great summer pies in particular. Back to your calls. Let's go to Andy with us in Mount Horeb. Andy, hello.
Hi. One of the pies I like is elderberry, and I was coming back from Madison today along a road, I won't say which one, I saw about 50 lineal feet worth of elderberries, and they're just starting to, all the blossoms are gone now, and they're just starting to get some color, and I think they'll be ready in a week and a half or 2 weeks, and I'll be making a pie and some elderberry jam.
That sounds fantastic, Andy. Yes. And don't worry, your secret's safe with me. I don't think I could pick an elderberry out of a lineup. Have you worked with elderberries, Christina?
I have. Elderberries are fantastic. Again, a little futzy because they're small to pick. But here's a tip for everybody. If you don't have 50 linear feet of elderberries, is apples are a good partner with a lot of what they call hedgerow, you know, kind of wild growing fruit. So if you've got like some great wild blackberries or wild black raspberries or elderberries, you can match those with apple, and apples will kind of, they won't overpower the berries. So you'll still get a really, the flavor of say elderberry coming through, and the apples will help take up some of the mass, if you will. And you can make a whole pie out of maybe not as many elderberries.
Sounds great. Thanks so much for sharing that. We'll go to Teresa now with us in Madison. Teresa, hi.
Hello. I was brought up in England, and a traditional pastry is, we call it half fat to flour. So, and of course, it's not cups, but if you had a pound of flour, the fat would be 8 ounces, and the fat would be half margarine and half lard with a sprinkle of salt. And that's just absolutely standard. And I still bake it like that. And people often comment, especially at Christmas, they say, oh, your pastry is really good. And it's what I would call just a plain old recipe, but it is excellent. The lard makes it so rich. It's lovely.
Fantastic. Christina, you said earlier, keep that dough simple.
Keep the dough simple. And if you found it, a lot of it is the technique. If you found a ratio for the fats that work for you, stick with it. Practice makes perfect. It really does. So, you know, I always say, just jump in. Nobody complains too much about eating a pie if it didn't turn out perfectly. But it's not uncommon to use a half and half on the fat recipe. So butter to margarine, butter to Crisco sometimes. Half butter, half Crisco is popular. So again, whatever ratios work for you, stick with it.
Teresa, thanks for calling in. Time for one more call. Russ is with us in Pleasant Springs. Russ, hi.
Hi. I'm calling. You had a recent caller that asked about the raspberry cheese pie she had at a restaurant. I missed some of the details. If you buy a preformed pie crust, do you always have to bake that? And number two, how do you spread a brick of Philadelphia cream cheese? What do you do? Do you let it warm up, or what do you do with that?
So with the Philadelphia brick cream cheese, I'm going to go in reverse order, is you do bring it up like you would a butter. So bring it up to room temperature and then mix it. If you've got a stand mixer, fantastic. If you don't, a hand mixer works great. And yes, with the refrigerator or frozen pie crust, you do have to bake them. So they are essentially raw and then frozen or refrigerated. And, you know, so there's two different styles. But yes, you have to bake them. And yes, bring that cream cheese up to room temperature. If you're extra lazy, the Philadelphia brand actually makes like a tub of cheesecake filling. You can just buy the filling ready made.
Thanks for that call. One quick emergency question. Brock from Madison couldn't stay on the line. He had a bumper crop of mulberries and wants advice on making pies with them. I say emergency because mulberries don't keep too long.
They do not. Mulberries can be finicky because that stem goes all the way down. So here's what I'd recommend. Cook them down. Just cook them plain with just enough water to cover them so they don't scorch. And then use like I'm a big fan of the conical sieve. And so to separate the mulberries from the stems, and then you'll have mulberry pulp, and then make your filling and slurry right from that. Sweeten it, thicken it with a little flour or cornstarch, however you want, and then go to town and make your pie.
Sounds great. Christina, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's always my pleasure. I hope everyone is inspired to, if they don't make a pie, at least eat some pie this weekend.
I think I will. Christina Ward is a food writer from Cudahy and master food preserver from Milwaukee County. We talked with her about summer pies. We've got three of her recipes posted at WPR.org/Food Friday. A great easy pie dough, a cherry pie, and a blueberry ricotta refrigerator pie. Give us a shot. Let them know how they went.